Welcome to Truth for the Journey from Clifford Baptist Church, 635 Fletcher's Lovell Road in Amherst. Please join us today as Pastor Jeffrey Campbell leads us in an in-depth study in the book of Jonah. Today's scripture is Jonah chapter 4, and the sermon is entitled, I Want It My Way.
We open God's Word. Let's pray together. Father God, Lord, thank you tonight. Lord, thank you for a church body, Lord, that loves you and that looks to your Word. And so tonight, Lord, just with humble hearts, we pray, Lord, that you do lead us. Lord, thank you, Lord, that is by your hand. We know you will lead us, Lord, not only this day, but into our future. And so, God, we look to you, Lord, and tonight as we open your word, Lord, and just remove any of Jeffrey from it, God, and I just pray the people hear the voice of God. And, Lord, I thank you just for your faithfulness to us, Lord, tonight as we take your word, we break it open, and we look to it to lead our life. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Jonah chapter number 4. Jonah chapter number 4, if you have your Bibles, go there, and we are going to tie a bow on the book of Jonah. Many of you have said, hey, where can I find this sermon? Well, I want to share that point. So I hope tonight, I want to say this. There has been one sermon over the past year of my life that has challenged me, and it pointed me to this book. H.B. Charles preached a sermon from Jonah chapter number 4, titled, How Big Is Your God? And it is a challenge that we do not serve a God like we should. And I shared it with some people through everything, but through Terry's whole situation, that sermon has been a go-to. I've listened to it about 5 times. I want to re-preach it, but I'm not going to do that. So go to YouTube, look up that sermon, How Big Is Your God by H.B. Charles, and listen to it. It will minister to your soul. I've never heard a more challenging sermon, and I pray that you will do that. I will not even compete with H.B. Charles tonight. I want you to know that. But here's the question I have for you tonight. What do you do when you're upset with God? Some people tell him, and some people tell everybody else. Right? Here's what I have found. When people get upset with God, there are some who quit, some who stop, some who won't anymore because they are upset with God. And then there are others that, for whatever reason, they will talk to God. In chapter 4, there is not much that we can commend Jonah for. Now, chapter 3, he was in God's will. That's where we left him. The last time we looked at Jonah chapter 3, he was in God's will doing what God asked him. Now, Jonah chapter 4 opens, and there's only one thing I will commend him for, and that is this. When he was mad with God, he told God. He didn't stop praying. He didn't stop talking to God. Instead of stopping and turning his back on God, he didn't. But he did voice his displeasure. So I give him that. But everything else tonight that we're going to read, you're going to see an upset man. But here's what I challenge you with Jonah chapter 4. Just let it be a mirror. That's the way that I've put this message together, as a mirror to where do we see ourselves. Burger King has a slogan. You can have it your way. Their most updated slogan is, you rule. You may think that you have it made or you can have it your way, but here's the truth in reality. We don't rule, God does. We are told in Isaiah 55 that his ways are higher, his thoughts greater than our thoughts. So what God does and why God does it is far beyond our knowledge, our understanding. Even when we can't answer the question of why is God doing this? God knows, and God is able to take care of that for us. You and I need to trust that His will is perfect for your life. Even when you don't understand it, even when you don't have the answers, just trust Him. So tonight, the title of our message, and some of you will get this, some of you won't, is More Than Burger King Meets Backstreet Boys, okay? I've titled it, I Want It My Way. And that's Jonah's heart. I want it. I gotta have it my way. And if not, I'm gonna be upset. When two wills collide, when reason for running meets God's loving mercy. When the Creator God meets His stubborn creation. When the gift of life meets someone desperate to die. When anger meets grace. It all happens in prayer tonight, and it all happens in chapter number 4. And so tonight, we look at this powerful chapter coming off a great revival, an entire city turning to God, everyone from those on the street to the king on the throne turned to God, repented. We looked at last time the king vacated the throne. You remember that? And we pictured that with that's what happens in our heart. When God comes in, the throne is vacated and God is put on that throne. But what happens? What happens when someone turns to God, when someone's life is saved? Well, Luke chapter 15 gives us two verses, and you don't have to turn there. You can write them down. Luke 15 chapter 7 says this, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. And verse number 10, likewise I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repents. Here's what happens when someone gets saved. All of heaven rejoices. And I look at a preacher who just went to Nineveh, who the city turns to God, and he can't rejoice for that. Let me tell you, as a pastor, when somebody comes to the Lord, oh man, it's celebration time down here. We should rejoice. But Jonah can't. Tonight you're going to see Jonah's heart. You're going to see his hatred. And you're going to see his hope that the people are destroyed. And that he would die. Because he wants it his way. Look at Jonah chapter 4. Starting with verse 1 going through verse number 4. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish. For I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Then said the Lord, doest thou well to be angry? The first point tonight that I want you to see is a displeased deliverer. A displeased deliverer. As we open chapter 4, on the hills of a city being saved, instead of a praising preacher, we have a displeased, disgruntled man, Jonah. He has delivered the message that the Lord wanted him to say. He has walked through a third of the city. He has found the spot where God wanted him to preach. He delivered God's message. And now he is upset with the results. If 100,000 plus people got saved, what would we do? Yes, shout would be the bare minimum, I think. But here we find that a man is displeased with God. This city of wicked people has turned to God, and Jonah is very angry. Now, remember, he has a hatred for those in Nineveh, but his anger is not at them. His anger now turns toward God. Have you ever met anybody that's angry at God? That's a hard place to be. Those are hard people to reach. And I want you to know, even though they could be believers, Jonah is frustrated and angry with God. The language of verse number 1, I know we kind of lose it in translation, but the language here is he is highly upset. You see the words that are used, displeased exceedingly and very angry. I want you to see a man that is so frustrated with God and what God has done that he just cannot stand it any longer. And in verse number 2, look there. It says, he prayed to the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Verse number 2, Jonah says this, I knew it, God. Here's my translation, okay? I knew it, God. I knew this is why I did not want to go for you. This is why I didn't want to go. This is why I fled. Because I knew, God, that you were a gracious God. You were good and you were loving and you were full of mercy and loving kindness. You were slow to anger and you would not harm them. Now, how many of you know that Jonah nails God 100% true right here? These are the characteristics of God. And so if you want to circle a verse, circle verse number 2, because this is who God is. And this is what Jonah chapter 4 teaches us. It teaches us that God is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and great kindness. And that ending of verse number 4 is saying that Jonah knew that he would not harm the Ninevites. He knew if they turned that Jonah would not harm, that God would not harm them. So that's why Jonah's mad. Because what he wanted was those Ninevites to die. So Jonah, as he wants these people wiped off the face of the earth, you see Jonah's heart, you see his hatred for those of Nineveh, because God didn't do what Jonah wanted God to do. Right? Do we get upset when God doesn't do what we want him to do? There are times we do, right? And so Jonah's mad because God didn't do what he wanted him to do. And so he and God are in this battle. And so it turns into a pity party. And here's what it's really turning into. Jonah's giving up. In verses 3 and 4 of chapter number 4, you see it says, O Lord, take my life. I'm ready to die. Here, if I had any hair to pull out, I'm like, what are you thinking, Jonah? 120,000 persons saved and you just want to go and die? This man is so upset. This is the second time so far in the book that Jonah asked to die, asked God to take him. Remember, he has to be thrown overboard. That was the first one that I'm counting. This is the second one. And God responds to Jonah's anger, His character evaluation, his request to die, by simply asking this: does it do you good to be angry? I'm going to challenge you in a joke. Next time you meet somebody, maybe it's your spouse that's angry, just turn and say, does it do you any good to be angry? It will probably make their anger elevated. I want you to know that, okay? But here's what I want you to do. Next time that you get angry, I want you to remember verse number 4. What good does it do to get angry? I watch my kids growing up learning this lesson, and I'm not going to tell all my stories on my kids, but Levi can sometimes battle that. And I watch him from afar, and I just said, what does that help? What does that help? Sometimes he watches his dad battle it as well. What does it help? I think when we get in that position where anger is in control of our lives, we must ask the question, what good is it? What good will this do? And God simply asked, does it do you good to be so angry? And when Jonah contemplates that, it just stirs him up. Here's what I want you to know as we close this section of the scripture. When we talk to God and when we pray, you may not get what you want. Many times the intentions of our hearts are made clear when we talk to God. See, Jonah was talking to God, but the intentions of his heart is this: not thank you, God, for saving them. God, I want them dead. And I'm mad at you because you didn't. The intentions of our heart are made clear before a holy God. Jonah knew God's characteristics, but God knows Jonah's as well, and his anger tops the list. This anger needs to be given to God, and that's what God's trying to do with Jonah. What is the reason you are angry? I want you to see a displeased deliverer. Look at verse number 5. So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth, and sat under it in the shadow till he might see what would become of the city. The second thing I want you to see in this scripture tonight is a bitter bystander. Most of the time when you become displeased with God, you then become a bystander, a bitter bystander. And Jonah teaches us that. He leaves the city, the place that God asked him to go. He was obedient to what God asked him to do. He was not thinking God's work was complete because he was hoping God would do something else in this city. And he wanted front row seats to it. So what did he do? He marched out the city. He set up on the hillside. He made himself a little tent. And he wanted a front row seat to what God was going to do in this city. But what Jonah did not realize is he had a front row seat to what God done. And what did he do? He left worship to go outside of that city and look for judgment. And I want you to know, I want you to be careful here. Just a warning to us. There are times when we are in the middle of something God is doing and we think somewhere else is better or something else is better. And we remove ourselves from that. Be very careful. Jonah could have easily worshiped with 100,000 plus people whose lives were just changed. And he didn't. He walked out of that city. He built his little booth, his little tent. And the only reason he left the city is that the end of verse number 5, he left that city so he could see what would become of it. Here is his hope. His hope was that this city would be destroyed. How many times have we left God in the middle of what he was doing? And so tonight, here's what I want you to know. I want you to know as we see Jonah become bitter and he becomes a bystander, he is waiting for God to do something that would wipe these people off the face of the earth. His anger has turned to bitterness. It has made him a bystander in the worship and in the work of the Lord. And so here is the warning just from this verse. Be very careful because bystanders are bitter. When you want something to happen to somebody else in the name of God, your heart and my heart is wrong. Jonah's heart is wrong because he wants destruction. I wrote down 4 words here. Just as warning. When things don't go your way, here's what Jeffrey does. Can I use myself? I stew. I separate. I quit. And I sit. And that's what Jonah's done. I told you to use it as a mirror. Jonah is so stewed and stirred and angered that all he can do is get away from what God is doing. He has quit. He has sat down. I'm not doing anything else in this city. And he is sitting down not doing a thing. Can I say it happens in church? Can I say it happens to good and godly people? They think it's the right thing to do, and it's not. So here is a warning. When we get upset or angry about something, don't let this happen. If Jonah would have kept talking it all out to God, I believe it would have been okay. But now he's having a pity party. He is bitter. He is a bystander. He is angry at the Lord, and he is waiting for God to do something. Well, God does something. Look at verses 6 and 8. 6 through 8. And the Lord God prepared a gourd and made it to come up over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd. But God prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd that it withered. And it came to pass when the sun did arise that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah that he fainted and wished himself to die and said, "It is better for me to die than to live." Point number three tonight is I want you to see a gracious God. As Jonah waits for God to do something to the Ninevites, guess what? God begins his work on Jonah. These are hard lessons. God creates a plant, and that plant grows up miraculously overnight to be a shelter over him, to block out the sun. But I love the wording here, because the wording in verse number 6, as that gourd grew and it came up over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief or from his discomfort. Now, I want you to know that this is a bush plant. If you do some homework, it could be a castor oil plant. It could be all kinds of things. But it's a plant big enough to cover him, and it miraculously has grown. So God has performed another miracle. Just like he prepared the whale, he has prepared the gourd or the plant to come up over him. So this is a miracle. And he gives it to Jonah to help him, to cover him, and to help him to get out of that sun. But notice the end of verse number 6. It says, so Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd. First time Jonah's been happy in a long time. That's the truth. Maybe the whole chapter. I'm sure he was happy when the big fish spit him out. I'm sure he was happy of that. But the first time he is happy is when he is in the shade, and the shade is covering him while he is sitting, waiting on this city to be destroyed. He has chose to leave the city, but God is teaching Jonah something a little bit more, that even when you choose to do the wrong thing, guess what? My grace will cover you. And his grace does cover him. It is protecting him for just a little while, but God is also going to teach him a lesson with this plant. Be careful with happiness. I'm going to warn you, be careful of the things that make you happy. Because if it's all about you like it is for Jonah, then that's dangerous. God is working to relieve him of that discomfort of the sun, and he was exceedingly glad of it. He has moved from displeased with God and anger to happy. And over all things, a plant. And here's what I hope God doesn't send me a plant, okay? I don't have a green thumb. But here's what I want you to know. Some of you and me as well are happy over the things that we had nothing to do with and won't give God the credit. This plant has grown up. It has covered him. And God also begins a work, and he sends a ferocious worm. Now, this is my mind, so please bear with me. That worm could have been in the dirt and ate the roots. Could have. I don't believe that's what God did. Maybe he did. I believe this worm was hungry. Hungry enough to eat the plant. To destroy that which God had sent. To devour it. He sends that worm, and then after the worm, it kills the plant. He sends the sun, and the sun and the wind beat upon him all day. And here is his words, I just want to die again. Third time. Right? Jonah thinks the best way out is just to die. The only time Jonah has been happy is when God did something for him. There's a lesson in that. And here's the warning. If happiness is rooted when it benefits you, your priorities are out of order. I'm going to say that one more time. If happiness is rooted when it only benefits you, you may have your priorities out of order. Maybe there's somebody tonight in this room that has lost their plant, and you're mad at God. I don't know what that plan is for you. God has put something in your life, it's no longer there, and you're mad at God because it's no longer there. You have forgotten that God has given it to you, and God will take care of you through it all. So be careful that your happiness is not rooted only to benefit yourself. Jonah cared more for a plant than he did for the people of Nineveh. And this is the hard lesson that God is trying to teach him. A gracious God gives. And how many of you know, as Scripture says, a gracious God takes away? Excuse me. Job understood that. Job 121, that's where that is found. Job understood that God gives and God takes away, but Jonah has yet to learn it. And Jonah says this, death would be better than life right now. I know God gives us hard times. And maybe you have thought that same thing in your mind, that death would be the best way out. Trust God's plan. Even when the wind and the heat and God turns the heat up, trust God's plan. There's one more lesson in Scripture from verses 9 through 11. And God said to Jonah, doest thou well to be angry for the gourd or the plant? And he said, I do well to be angry even to death. Then said the Lord, thou hast had pity on the gourd for which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city where there are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle. Point number 4, tonight I want you to see a compassionate creator. God's questions began to target Jonah's anger. And he asked a simple question, is it right to be angry over that plant? And Jonah says this, absolutely it is. Notice in verse number 4 and verse number 9, the same question is asked. God is centering in on the issue. The issue isn't Nineveh. The issue isn't a whale. The issue wasn't the crew. The issue is Jonah and his hatred, his anger toward those in Nineveh. And he wishes just to die. I hate to say this, but do you realize the last recorded words of Jonah are these, I do well to be angry even unto death. That's the last we hear from Jonah. It does me good to be angry enough to die. I believe God leaves this chapter open-ended on purpose, but He is trying to teach multiple lessons for us. A compassionate Creator sent the whale, sent the gourd, sent the worm, sent the wind. The compassionate Creator made Jonah. And it wasn't the Ninevites. It was Jonah's anger that God needed to work on. Jonah didn't give life to the gourd. He didn't labor over it. It didn't last, but he loved it. And yet, he would not love the pity or have pity on 120,000 people that needed the Lord in their life. Just as God created the plant, He created and loved the people of Nineveh. And just like God created the plant, He created you and me, and He created all these young ones that have joined us just now. And pity on us if we can't share the good news of Jesus Christ. As we close this book, thinking about God's loving kindness toward the people of Nineveh, it closes out with that big question in chapter number 11 from God, and should not I spare Nineveh, that great city wherein more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle. He loved these people so much, He was going to save their cattle as well. Now there is some debate, is it 120,000 kids, or is it 120,000 adults? I'm not getting into that. Here's what I believe. It says persons. I believe that's adult people. 120,000 people who did not know their right from their left hand. They did not know what to do morally, right or wrong. And God still loved them. And here's Jonah, who also did not know what to do right or wrong. Who's in the worst shape? I do believe that we will see Jonah in heaven. And I want to know how the story ends, because the story has not ended. It's an open-ended story. And I think God does that on purpose. But here's what I want to boil it down to these last couple of words. God prepared a fish and a plant, a worm and a wind. He was trying to prepare a preacher. And the preacher resisted. He was trying to prepare the man that he needed him to be. And tonight I want to just be honest with you. I've seen more Jonah in me than I care to admit. But really what I want others to see is not Jonah, Jesus. How do we do that? We can't always want it our way. You can't fight that battle with God. You've got to trust Him with what His plan is for your life and be obedient and follow that plan. I want the Lord's will to be done in my life, my family's life, and my church family's life. That's my prayer. And so tonight, what part does God need to work on to remove from us, to make us who He needs us to be? He's not calling you to go to Nineveh, but He's calling you to go somewhere for Him. Will you be obedient to that call? What a book! Tonight, you've seen a displeased, bitter man, but you have seen a gracious and compassionate God in whom you serve. God has not changed. And so tonight, we take that same Savior to the world, that same Lord to the world. Circle that verse, verse number 2, the characteristics of God, and be reminded who God is and how God will lead you. Let's pray. Father God, Lord, thank You. Thank You, Lord, for this night. Lord, I thank You for an opportunity just to finish up a small book that has impacted my life in a great way. Lord, thank you for the book of Jonah. Lord, I thank you for what it teaches us. And tonight, as we close the pages of it, God, I pray, Lord, that you will let the story of Jonah resonate in our minds and in our hearts. God, that you will allow it, Lord, to teach us and lead us in these days. And Lord, I just pray for those that are around us that can't discern their right from their left, that do not know who God is. Lord, I pray, Lord, tonight, Lord, that you will put those people on our heart, not to be angry or upset with, but to minister and go to with the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. God, give us the courage. Give us the wisdom. Give us the strength to obey where you call us to go, I pray. Lord, thank you, Lord, tonight, that we don't have to have it our way. Lord, let us trust your way, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Clifford Baptist Church invites you to join us for worship every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. For more information about our church, please call our church office at 434-946-0555.